This podcast is for the brave hearts, the black sheep, the rebels. If you're willing to face your fears and optimize your time on this planet, you are among friends. This is the Erin Evans Podcast.
Hello. I am in Banff, Alberta, and I'm looking out my window, and it is absolutely nuking, puking, dumping, snowing. And we have had a slim snow year, so this feels like a kiss from the universe. It's so beautiful. I've been thinking a lot lately about death, my own death, and no offense, but for most of us, when we die, that'll kind of be it. You know, not many people will likely remember us. And so what is the point of being on this planet? I've heard people say that life is meaningless, but we give it meaning. And I believe that to be true. But something that is really resonant for me is, how do I stay in the game? How do I keep it interesting? And how do I keep myself awake when the distractions of the world are constantly tempting me to go to sleep? So who are you? Below your genetic line, the way that you look, below your personality, your job title, your socioeconomical class, your incredible mind, the physicality in which your body moves, who are you? For most of us, we come into the world, we're given a name, and people start to tell us who we are, and a lot of it has to do with how we look and how we fit into society as intelligent, playful, quiet, loud. Who are we? Because it's always up for renegotiation. Our identity is constantly in flux. And I believe that this game of life is the great battle for self-love and authenticity. And self-love is this intangible force within us. But when somebody possesses a great sense of self-love, they tend to be content, clear, communicative, and brave. They stand up for themselves. So then what thwarts our ability to love ourselves and be confident? I think we've been sold a lie. And I think that oftentimes people believe that self-love is very individualistic. Then we get stuck in trying to figure out what our identity, what our brand is, and then we can never transcend that. We get obsessed with the lowest level of ourselves because we want to be a somebody so badly. And the lowest level of self is primarily what we look like. The superficialities of who we are. Our diversity and our uniqueness, when we finally find it, it's what creates unity in the world. But for a lot of people, it's frightening to be different. So we might obsess and try to figure out what makes me unique, what makes me different. We can become self-obsessed. And then there's no space for the other. We might even become so intensely firm and proud of who we are that we can't see people. We either want them to change or we just cannot accept them for who they are. There's the myth of Narcissus. Narcissus was the Greek god who was impossibly handsome. I've dated him like 5 times. And he was so beautiful that he sat by the pond, and when he saw his own reflection, he fell so deeply in love with himself that he got trapped. He couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, and he died because he was obsessed with his own image. And that is the crux of this human journey. Because a lot of people are obsessed, myself included sometimes, with how they feel, how they look, what they wear, what they own, and how they live. But it's very surface level, superficial things that we attribute to who we are. But our depth, our power is so much bigger than what we look like, what we wear, and even how we live. It is very ephemeral, and if we're constantly trying to put a label on who we are, we just get stuck. The double-sided coin of self-love, authenticity, confidence, on one side, we can become a martyr. We start to push away the idea that we even have a self. And in our society, it's actually really applauded to be selfless. That's disgusting. To be selfless means we have no backbone. It is the birthplace of martyrdom, where we give everything away for free, but secretly resent the other. And then the other side is narcissism, obsession with ourselves, totally locked in a love affair with our own lives and only living it for ourselves. So what's the remedy? How does one dance between the state of giving ourselves entirely over to our family, our loved ones, our work, and becoming a egomaniac that only cares about their own self? The middle way is a state of naturalness, of understanding who you are, regardless of any labels. You are not your name. You are not your actions. You are not your thoughts, beliefs. You're so much bigger than that. And there's this inner freedom or space that occurs when you're able to untangle from the matrix of what society told you that you needed to be. You know, you have to be to get, you need to do to receive. And naturalness, or a state of being, is I matter because I breathe. There are 5 stages of the hero's journey. So according to Joseph Campbell, and most archetypical stories are told in this manner. But first, there is a call to individuate. There is a call to adventure. You don't have to take the call, but you should, because it's really fun. And in that individuation, you try to figure out, what do I believe? Why am I here? What am I doing this for? The second stage is an isolation. It's pulling away from your responsibilities. It's giving yourself the space to explore, what are your natural impulses? What do you really believe about yourself? Your sexuality, your creativity, your beliefs around money and partnership. The third stage is a deep relaxation into everything that you've just discovered. An acceptance, a landing, a reverence to the fact that you're not who you think you are, that you're not a somebody. In fact, you're a nobody. The fourth stage is a rebirth. And Carolyn Mace often talks about the rebirth almost like a narcissistic unfolding. You know, how do you know someone's vegan? Well, they'll tell you. She says you'll get a haircut, you'll start listening to different music, you're doing drastic changes to change your identity because you need buy-in, you need skin in the game for you to start to live the next level of the game, as it were. And then finally, once you've individuated, got away from the tribe, given yourself some space and time to figure out what you really think, you're reborn, you have a new vision, then finally, you're able to bring something into the world, a gift, a vision, an art, a way of being. The whole reason that we undergo these processes of identity crises and then our next evolution is because the whole point of this life is lila, divine play. It keeps us alive and engaged and interested. At the heart of our self-discovery, our confidence, our place in the world is to rest unattached while participating in the adventure of life without being consumed with the playout. I'll say that one more time another way. Let go, engage, play to the field of what you want, because as Abraham Hicks says, if not this, then something better. I love you, and your ability to be natural, to be you, unique, is how we will create unity in the world, how the entire species will evolve. Who are you? Why are you here? And why are you doing what you're doing? If you liked what you heard, be sure to rate and subscribe to this podcast. Until next time, I'll leave you with a joke. There was a conference at a hotel, and this man was in a big hurry, and he bumped into a woman with his elbow in her chest, and he said, "Ma'am, if your heart is as soft as your bosom, you'll forgive me." And she said, "Sir, if your beep is as hard as your elbow, I'm in room 207."